The Rocky Flats Stewardship Council will hold a public meeting this morning over Zoom as part of its ongoing work to oversee the former nuclear weapons site located between Boulder and Golden. The meeting starts at 8:30, and a link to it is available on the City of Boulder's website. Tomorrow night, Regis University will hold a symposium on the nuclear legacy of Rocky Flats. The keynote speaker is Chris Iverson, the author of a book titled Full Body Burden, Growing Up in the Nuclear Shadow of Rocky Flats. She spoke with KGNU's Shelley Schlender ahead of the event.
Rocky Flats is one of the most important historical and environmental stories in the history of the United States. It is at the heart of the Cold War. There was extensive radioactive and toxic contamination that continues to the present day. And the public health effects of that contamination continue to the present day and will continue to affect us into the future.
Well, Kristen Iverson, for people who drive down between Golden and Boulder, there's just a little sign that says Rocky Flats. Somebody who doesn't know the history of what happened there may not know that it was a nuclear weapons plant that was top secret and made one of the most toxic substances around called plutonium.
That's exactly right. Rocky Flats began production in the early 1950s. What they produced, unbeknownst to the public, was plutonium triggers for nuclear weapons. That is the heart of every nuclear bomb produced in the United States.
That's quite amazing to think. It was less than 15 miles from Boulder, really less than 20 miles from Denver, this plant making this very powerful and dangerous stuff.
Right. And example at Los Alamos, where they developed the nuclear bomb and produced some plutonium pits. If you worked at Los Alamos, you lived at Los Alamos, and it was all secret and contained. What was different with Rocky Flats was that they needed to depend upon a local workforce. So when I worked at Rocky Flats, there were almost 6,000 people working there. Workers were not allowed to talk about the kind of work that they did, that all going all the way back to the early 1950s, it was all top secret. They were not subject in the early years to any kind of environmental regulation. So there was a lot going on that did affect local populations. Over the course of almost 40 years, Rocky Flats produced more than 70,000 plutonium pits or triggers for nuclear weapons. And each one of those triggers contained enough breathable particles of plutonium to kill every person on Earth.
You grew up downwind of Rocky Flats.
Well, I grew up in Arvada, kind of on the edge of Arvada, not far from Stanley Lake. And we were pretty much directly downwind from fires that created toxic and radioactive clouds that passed over our neighborhood. Some of the other towns that were affected include Westminster, Broomfield, Superior, certainly, parts of Boulder. Anything southeast of the plant was most directly affected. But as Dr. Carl Johnson, who was the health director of Jefferson County, when a lot of this contamination was actively happening, he recommended that anyone within a 30-mile radius of Rocky Flats should be concerned. And he recommended that there be no new home building within that 30-mile radius. So that's the area that is most directly affected, although some of the bigger fires, like the one in 1957 or 1969, created a large enough toxic cloud that it traveled beyond, not just beyond Arvada, Westminster, Broomfield, and those areas, but even beyond the Colorado border.
There was a push among citizens to close Rocky Flats, and Rocky Flats was finally closed, and then it went through being a Superfund site with a huge cleanup. And now, when we fast forward to today, what is Rocky Flats and what is its impact?
If a person were to drive down Highway 93, for example, and look over at the site, they would see open land. There would be no signage that would tell them what happened there or why it might be potentially dangerous to hike or bike at the Rocky Flats National Wildlife Refuge. What happened after the cleanup, and let me emphasize, it was a compromised cleanup. The site is not pristine by any means. There's still a great deal of contamination on site. Every time we have a major event like the flood in 2017 or the Marshall Fire more recently, anything that threatens the site in any way, we have a new concern about how much contamination is coming off site and still continuing to affect current residents around Rocky Flats. You know, our great, great, great grandchildren are still going to have to be worrying about plutonium at Rocky Flats. And with plutonium, something as small as a millionth of a gram, if it is breathed into the lungs or somehow taken into the body, can create a cancer.
Kristen Iverson, when people go to the event happening at Regis, will they get a chance to ask the experts questions as well as hear your talks?
Yes, I think this is a very unique and dynamic event. I'm going to be talking about the history and the legacy of Rocky Flats. And then I'm going to be joined by a panel of experts that are really extraordinary. They include John Lipsky, who was the FBI agent who led the raid on Rocky Flats, Dr. Mark Johnson, who was the past president of the Colorado Medical Society and the health director for Jefferson County, Randy Stafford, an analyst who has looked at all of the health studies and environmental studies at Rocky Flats.
This sounds like it's going to be an evening for anybody who might have any concerns about being downwind of Rocky Flats to hear what the current situation is with the fact that they live close to what was a very toxic site that was cleaned up according to the Superfund records, but not entirely cleaned up.
That's exactly right.
Are nuclear weapon triggers still made in the United States?
Yes, they are. Production of plutonium triggers has restarted at Los Alamos, and they are currently talking about starting it up at the Savannah River site. So it's a very current and concerning topic, what we plan to do in this country with our nuclear weapons production and the cost of that production, health-wise and otherwise.
We've been talking about a nuclear weapons plant. What about the latest generation of nuclear power plants? There are climate specialists, people in the Department of Energy, who argue that to combat global climate change, we might be better off if we have some of the latest generation of nuclear power plants online, because they are the quickest way we can get to having less carbon being put into the atmosphere. Do you have an opinion about that from what you've seen with Rocky Flats?
Let me say this. One thing that concerns me about nuclear power production as well as nuclear weapons production is that we do not have a history or a standard of truth and transparency in this country between the Department of Energy and the public. And that includes, to some extent, I would say even the EPA or CDPHE, the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment. And I think until we can trust these institutions to provide full and accurate information with respect to the potential risks of these kinds of technologies, I think we have to be very skeptical.
Thanks to Shelley Schlender for that interview with Chris Iverson, author of Full Body Burden, Growing Up in the Nuclear Shadow of Rocky Flats. Iverson will speak at a Tuesday night symposium, The Legacy of Rocky Flats, at Regis University in Denver. The event starts at 6 p.m.